I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 480. The bromance is real. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, I've been doing good. I could be far worse.
Are you recovered from Easter?
I am. And I'm feeling more in tune and more like myself. And I'm full and stuffed from my greens that were phenomenal.
Your greens were great. Your greens were great. I can't even pretend to throw haterade. They were delicious. Everything was delicious. Easter was phenomenal. It's always fun to gather around with the family and have a meal and funny conversation and throw shade on people and then talk politics and then start to leave before anybody starts talking religion. Let's get into games and nerdy things, because there's a lot to talk about. There's a bunch that's coming up on the radar. If you, for whatever reason, are a fan of this podcast and you haven't seen The Force Awakens yet, it's available on Blu-ray and DVD and digital purchase, so definitely worth buying. I will tell you right now, it will not suck as a gift. It is a great thing to own. The extras that are available, at least on the digital version, because that's what I have, are really, really worth it. And frankly, it really, really makes you, or at least it made me, wish that they had actually released, as part of the extras, the table read, because they show you this, like, 5-minute video, because they documented that table read. So remember the first teaser photo that J.J. Abrams put out of everybody sitting around starting the table read in the black and white photo?
Yes.
They recorded the whole table read, but they didn't put it in the digital extras. They put a 5-minute edit. And the amazing thing about the table read and why I wish so desperately that they had released the whole thing in the extras is because Mark Hamill did the narration during the table read. So all of the instructions and the setups between when characters talked, Hamill did. So I feel like it makes up for him not having anything to say in the whole movie, because he basically narrated the whole movie during the table read. But they only give you a 5-minute edit. And you're just like,
they want you to feel the longing. They want you to
long for this so much in my soul.
That's why.
I want this spot so bad. And even during the table read, like, you could see, and it was the first time that any of them had seen or heard the story. So they weren't given, like, the scripts beforehand to be able to read through the whole thing and be like, yeah, I want to do it. They only got, like, snippets. But you can see in the table read that Boyega and Isaac were already, like, buddying up before they even read their dudes. So the bromance is real.
I want...
Between John Boyega and Oscar Isaacs. It's real, guys. The bromance is real. The bromance.
Be a part of their world.
Makes me so happy. And then I want more of it. But definitely worth an own if you are a fan of the franchise. Or, frankly, if you have younger kids, this is actually a pretty good place to bring them in to the world and get them, you know, excited about the battles and conversations, and then go back and rewatch the series out of order to be in order of awesome to back to awesome, I think would be a great piece. So I've really enjoyed it. I saw it in the theaters 3 times. I wanted to see it more and I couldn't really work it out. So I'm very glad to own it. I will definitely watch it again at some point. It's one of those movies that for me, I will watch multiple times. It's just a given that that's going to happen. There are some other movies that are coming up, obviously, that we are going to be having our eyeballs on. So the main thing that I wanted to talk about today was Miitomo.
Oh, gosh. I'm so addicted.
Which is Nintendo's first non-Nintendo handheld exclusive handheld game that they've released. It is available on iOS. You can basically, the way I can explain it, is if you played Tamagotchi Life.
Oh, which I didn't, which is...
Okay. Miitomo is basically Tamagotchi Life, where you have a character that goes through and experiences stuff. They have many challenges that they go through. They answer questions, ask questions, and through participating through all these things, you earn currency that you can spend in-game to improve your character's life. So you answer enough questions and you do enough quests, you earn enough currency that you can buy furniture, you can buy new homes. It's basically like a super simplified Sims, if that makes sense.
Okay, and I'm a big fan of Sims. Okay.
So as you get into Miitomo, it starts off with you basically having a social experience with your friends. So you create your Mii, and one of the things that's very interesting is that you can use the forward-facing camera on your handheld device for it to kind of take a look at your face, and using the character creation features that are within the Miiverse, which it's the same Mii characteristics that are available on your Wii, Wii U, or your 3DS. So I imagine that you're going to be able to take your Mii from Miitomo to your Wii U and probably into some games that you can use your Miis in. Mine did a pretty good job, actually, of picking up my face and creating a character that actually somewhat looks like me. It got the nose right, it got the eyes right, because I do have very short eyes. I, for a long time, struggled with Ben Carson syndrome, where people weren't sure if my eyes were open or not. But I'm so boisterous that it's kind of hard to think that I'm asleep, unless I'm asleep, because that's when I snore.
I like your little almond eyes.
Thank you. But it also got my braids right. So I have a hawk going on, and for the most part, it picked the hairstyle that fit, where it is apparently braided or cornrowed in the front and then longer in the back, because the way the camera saw it, my hair, the way it was, it thought that I basically had like a cool mullet going on, which is somewhat accurate depending upon how you catch me. So it was very interesting to see that I actually didn't have to change any of the features that it popped up with my Mii from the camera piece, which is very cool. It also makes it faster to get into the game if you're building it that way, because I can spend a lot of time on character creation, like trying to build a character that either really looks like me or the ideal that I would like to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody famous that I really, really admire. So pretty much in character creation, I either try to make myself or I try to make a badass Aisha Tyler. That's pretty much when I get into character creation, where I go, it's either me or, like, where I'd like to be, which is Aisha Tyler.
Right. I want to be her. Height. Like, I thought you wanted to be,
No, I am in our situation. If we digivolve, I am Angela Bassett and you are Aisha Tyler. Like,
I
accept that about our relationship, and okay. Angela Bassett is a badass.
Of all people, like, why not me?
So I'm okay with that. But if I'm honest, like, by myself, I would really like to be Aisha Tyler. One, crazy nerdy. crazy nerdy. And see, I don't think that Angela Bassett is crazy nerdy. She's just crazy talented.
She's just crazy badass.
And so... crazy badass, right? And I'm nerdy. Like, let's be honest. You're nerdy.
But you're nerdier.
I'm nerdier. I am, like, the nerdiest. I'm so nerdy, I should work for Nerdist Industries. They just don't hire me yet because they don't know about me, but we'll work on that. So I really enjoyed the character creation, and when I jumped into the game, I really wasn't sure what the game was about.
Neither did I.
I had seen a bunch of my friends posting their Mii creations that had a QR code, and it's an interesting thing because it is meant to be a smartphone app that you can use QR codes to scan your friends into your world. So the way that Miitomo works is there are quests that you can run by yourself, which are little mini games and questionnaires, and you answer the questions and you get a text box to answer a question. So it's not a multiple choice and you have to pick the one that's closest to your answer. You can actually put in your specific answer. And as you add friends into your world, they will be able to visit your place, tell you about their day, like basically share the answers to the questions that they have themselves so far answered. Every time you answer a question, you get coins. You need coins because coins are going to allow you to accessorize yourself and then ultimately the space that you're in. And it's very interesting because it asks you some questions when you're setting up your character to figure out your personality and how you respond. And instead of you doing a lot of reading, it does actually speak out loud, as long as you have the speaker turned on, obviously.
Right.
The question and the answers, again, because you're on your mobile phone, the question and the answers to you. Both the ones that you've set and the ones that your friends have. So it's very interesting to see how my friends have answered questions. You do get some coins and some bonuses and unlock some chests for doing things daily. So there are daily things that will pop up that you can unlock that will sometimes give you a wearable or sometimes give you currency, or there's other things that Nintendo has hinted at that they will probably be gifting through the challenges and through the quests, if you will.
I haven't done the mystery quests thing.
Well, they haven't popped up a big one yet. So right now it's still pretty much in the base stages of getting your Mii set up, answering some existing questions, getting a handle on how to interact with the world, check in on your Mii, go to the store, spend stuff at the store, how to earn currency, visiting with your friends, getting your friends on. So one of the things that you can do is you can connect Miitomo to your Twitter, to your Facebook, I think to Instagram.
Oh God, really?
Yep.
Hot photos from my Miitomo.
If you do, within the app, you can also superimpose your Miitomo into any of the photos that you have currently stored on your phone and share them back out. So if you start seeing photos pop up on your feeds with some Mii-looking characters, it's because your friend's into Miitomo. Just accept it. Just click like and move on. I do like that within the Miitomo universe, when you are looking at answers to questions your friends were asked, you are given the option once you get to the end of their answer to like or to comment on their answer. And what's interesting is if you click like, the little heart, you get a quick thanks. But if you go and you comment, as you start typing out your answer, your character will start speaking the answer out loud. And if you look at any comments that are left on someone else's message or answer, it's read by their Mii in real time when you look at it. So it's like having a conversation with them when they're not even there.
How addictive have you felt this has been?
So
I'm imagining that you've had yours a little bit longer than I've had mine.
Yes.
And I literally got it, like, last night. I was around a table, and everyone was very focused on their phones. And I was like, what's going on? And everyone, all of a sudden, I just heard these.
Were they power puffing themselves, or were they playing me? Well,
apparently, a lot of people have been power puffing themselves.
I puffed myself. I don't know if you had a chance to see my power puff, but yeah, my power puff myself is so accurate, it's ridiculous.
And so I did that, but then I heard some weird voices coming from phones, and it's like, oh, it's my Miitomo, and I'm like, you're what? You're what? And it's like, it's a free app on your phone. You should get it, and we could be friends. And I'm like, well, we're friends now.
I know, right? Okay?
Like, it was kind of funny.
And like, he's like, I'm friends with you right now, sitting with you in this room. While you look at your phone and play with Miitomo with your friends.
Oh, they're your friends. Right.
Who are not sitting right here right
with
now.
With your fiance. And right. He convinced me to get it, which I then went and got. And so I've only had it for maybe 18 hours at this point. And I find myself just answering questions about myself because none of my friends have updated anything in a bit. So, like, my character's not thinking about anybody right now. So she's just kind of sitting there like, dot, dot, dot. Wish I had a thought.
Well, have you taken her into the store? Have you bought her any clothes yet?
Yeah.
All right.
I bought her some clothes.
So I will say this. I specifically did something to keep Miitomo from becoming an addiction.
Okay. What did you do?
I only installed it on my iPad Pro.
Oh.
Okay. I did not install it on my smartphone so that I would not get the urge to look at questions and answer all the time, especially when I was out with friends or at work, because I don't take my iPad Pro to work with me. Also, it does not rotate, so there's no landscape view yet. So I have to keep my iPad Pro in portrait mode, which means I have to hold it. So it keeps the amount of time that I spend in the game to a minimum because my iPad Pro, it's not as light as, like, my iPhone. So I don't really want to be holding it for long periods of time where I'm just like, oh, let me tap here. Okay, now let me put it down so the keyboard comes up so I can put in an answer. Like, it does keep my playtime to, like, 5-10 minutes max, and then I put it down and I want to do something else and I don't want to come back to it for a while. And I did that purposely because I knew if I put it on my phone, I would never put it down. Like, it would become my new trivia crack. And I'm already addicted enough to trivia crack and evil apples that I don't need another.
Oh, God. I'm not touching evil apples.
I will warn you now. It is so addictive. I have been in the same game of evil apples with friends for over a year now. In that year, okay. I have won 3 games.
Only 3.
Yeah. And I am, like, in the middle of the pack. There's only 2 people. No, there's 4 people who have won more than 3. But, you know, we're all across the country, so it takes whiles for everybody to actually put
in
their turns.
Get in and do what they're, right.
But we have been playing the same game in Evil Apples for a year. And I'm one of the newest people added into this game. That game has been running for 3 years. Okay, so when it comes to mobile addictive games, I have the right personality type.
Right. Oh, no. Be careful, bro.
So that's why I put Miitomo on the iPad Pro, so that I would only pick it up and play it when I was at home and when I had 5 or 10 minutes, you know, at max to do something other than check my social or check email or worry about dealing with my house or lament over how much I have to pay in taxes over the course of the next year.
Oh, no,
it sucks. It sucks.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, no collector's editions for the rest of the year. Like,
wow.
None. Like, none.
Like, zero.
Like, zero. Like, Scarf is the only merch at PAX.
Ooh, bro.
That being said, I really do like playing the game when I pick it up. And because I'm only picking it up for 5 or 10 minutes at a time, you know, hours apart from other hours, every time I go in, my friends have answered new stuff. I did not tie it to my Twitter. I'm very particular about what applications I give access to my Twitter account. I'm also very particular about what applications I give access to my Facebook account. But I feel like, hey, Nintendo's not going to let any backdoor malware guys into my account to post about cheap, fake-ass Ray-Bans. That's just a phishing site. I'm fairly confident that their security is going to work. So I did connect my Facebook to my Matomo. So that allowed me to see any of my other friends on Facebook who had connected and add them as friends. And it brings up both a set that are recommended. So the recommended ones are people that I interact with on a regular basis on Facebook. And I thought that that was a nice touch versus just all really my nice. Facebook friends. So like first peeked up at the top were the people that like I've commented on stuff, they've commented on mine, back and forth kind of stuff. And then there was everybody else who had connected their Miitomos and that were friends because, and this is where I do have something negative to say about Miitomo, is a pain in the ass to add friends in bulk because there is no, oh, let me just tap you, add all friends. No, you have to go one at a time. And so if I scroll down to, let's say, the bottom of the list and I scroll past 45 people and I found, you know, number 46 was somebody I wanted to add. When I tapped on them to add them as a friend, it pops up a box to confirm that I want to do that. If I say yes, it automatically scrolls me back up to the top of the list. So I have to scroll all the way back, letting, and it's not like a, it remembers how many people you've scrolled through. So like every 10, it has to stop and reload the next 10. So you have to wait. And then they come up, and then you have to scroll, because these are all people that you scrolled past.
Right.
To get back to where you were. It doesn't just jump back. It's not smart enough to go, oh, you were right here in the list, and you said okay to this person. You probably want to see the rest of the list. So once I say okay, I'm going to put you and leave you right where you are so you can continue going on where you left off, because you already went past all these people. Nope. And so that's a real pain in the ass to
bulk. That does not sound like fun. Thank you for telling me that ahead of time so I know not what to do.
Yeah, so as you see your friends share their QR codes for their Miis, go ahead and scan that shit right then and there. Get them in your system that way because you do not want to go through the list to do it.
All right, so the list is not
not
very sexy.
It's not functional the way that you would want it to be. And so it makes what should be a simple and quick process, a tedious, lengthy process. And that takes away from the overall experience of the game. Like, I like watching my little me walk around. And when I have guests that come over, I like seeing their questions and answering them. And it'll be interesting to see as they start adding some of the bigger activities and group activities in, you know, how your me's interact. And the fact that I can take them kind of like when I had what was that game? It basically was a Tamagotchi. It was a cute little Tamagotchi, though, that you raised. And as long as you spent time with them every day, they didn't end up crying and running off into the forest. And then you have to coach them back and buy them a house or whatever. But what was interesting about that was that you could bring your little monster into your photos. So you could take anything that was in your library and superimpose them. Or you could take a selfie and they would randomly just pop up in different sections of the image, sometimes posing with you and sometimes giving you the raspberry. But I really enjoy that feature of augmenting reality that way, where I take a game that I'm playing and a character that I've made and I can interject them into my life and then share that around. I like that a lot. So I'm having fun playing Miitomo, but I specifically set myself up so that I would not get to a place to be addicted to it, because it would be easy to get addicted to it.
Right.
Because it is just simple.
And it's so adorable. I can't help how super freaking cute it is. I didn't think when I was making mine, because I used the frontward camera, because I was curious how that would work. And I think my new Miitomo looks better than what I made for like my Wii U character. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, man, it has gone above and beyond. And I'm like, I don't want to lose her. Like, I don't want to lose her at all.
So be sure, if you're jumping into Miitomo, one of the things that it will tell you as you start the process is that you really need to link your Nintendo account to your Miitomo. If you don't have a Nintendo account, it gives you the option to create one. Create one, go back, and link it to your device before you make your Miitomo. Because if you don't have a linked account, if anything happens to your Miitomo, if your phone has to be wiped, guess what? Doesn't matter if you have a cloud backup, your Mii from your Miitomo is gone. You're going to have to start all over again. They haven't gotten to the point yet, I don't believe at least, that the microtransactions are available in Miitomoverse, but that will be coming. And you damn sure don't want to lose anything that you've spent money on in the game simply because you didn't link your account. Because everything syncs with your linked Nintendo account. It's not tied to the iCloud in any way. So, you absolutely need to link your account. If you accidentally delete your Miitomo and you don't have a linked account, you cannot recover that Miitomo. You are screwed. That Mii is gone. Those purchases are gone. That data is gone. You no havee because they went bye-bye and you might cry. So
don't invest until you're ready to really invest.
So keep yourself from crying, people, and link your Nintendo account. Link it before you make anything. Link it. Like, I completely forgot my login for my Nintendo account. I couldn't remember what email address I tied it to. Just how much I don't use my Nintendo account. Could not remember the email address I had tied it to connect one. So I had to go bounce through my email archive to find the last email that they had sent me to figure out what my email address was, because I have quite a few email addresses from various sites that I work on.
You want to keep people on the like run. That.
Nah, I just don't need everybody all in my world like that. Like, certain people know the direct to Rochelle email address.
Most some know the two-step away, like the four.
Most people know the screening addresses.
So.
But, like, I can count on, like, less than one hand the amount of people that have the direct email. After I figured out the email, then I was like, all right, well, when did I make this account? Because depending upon when I made this account, it'll determine what three passwords I had in rotation at the time. Couldn't get into my account to see when I made my account. Tried my current passwords. They didn't work. Didn't want to try the previous variants because I didn't want to get locked out. So I just had them send a password reset to my email that I remembered, finally. Turned that account back on. Linked my account because I'd already seen some of the stories of people having difficulty because their account wasn't linked. So I thank you guys for giving me the heads up. I am here paying it forward by giving you guys the heads up. Link your accounts. If you don't have a Nintendo account, create one before you jump into Miitomo because you will hate yourself down the road if you don't. Because there's nothing like lost data. There's nothing like losing a character after you have spent hours creating them and answering questions and getting bonuses and stuff to lose it all, to have no recourse to get it back. And it's kind of really your own damn fault.
Right. I understand.
So that's what I got.
I will avoid those pitfalls, so thank you for
the most part, it is a free and free-to-play game, although we all know microtransactions are coming. That's why you bring a game like this out to mobile devices, so that you can get people to buy currency packs and power-ups and outfits and specials. So, you know that stuff is probably coming on the roadmap, but for now, it's all the currency you earn by basically answering questions and asking your friends questions. And what could be more fun than that, than getting to know people?
That's right. And actually, like, the few questions that I've noticed that have been asked, just really quickly about it, is, like, I love the fact that they ask questions in such a way that you don't realize what they're actually asking you. Like, a lot of these questions are...
So you didn't realize that they're just trying to get, like, deeper demographic information on you, because that's what they're trying to do?
Well, like, it's like you envision a field. How many flowers do you see? And I'm like, hopefully if it's a full field, like, I'm saying, like, billions. And then a friend of mine saw my answer, and it was like, that blooming flower question about how many people Jermanda thinks she'll ever go out with in her life is. And I'm like, whoa, that is not what I said. That is not right. I did not say that. And my fiance's like, oh, really? I'm like, No,
you did say that. That's actually the answer you gave.
I know, but that wasn't the question they asked. They got me in trouble. They almost got me in some serious trouble. And I was like, what? I was a field, like a cute field, though. Like, you know, come on.
You know, billions of the D. Duh.
not the billions of the D.
I mean, first of all, owie. Second of all, whoa.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty intense.
And like, statistically, like, a bunch of those would be diseased.
I know. Which is not what
cool.
I think.
Not cool.
Oh, it was very...
But it is, in fact, what you said.
It is, in fact, what I answered. So, it was pretty... I was pretty embarrassed about it. And I felt bad. And I apologize.
Well, just because you answer a question doesn't mean that that answer is necessarily always going to be paired with that question. So, lesson learned. Be careful what you write.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen some profanity come through the game as well. Nintendo warned about it because it is an online thing and these are your friends. Okay, there's language that you would use between you and your friend versus you and like, oh, I don't know, your boss. So I have already seen some language. Now, it didn't bother me.
Personally.
Right. And there's not any like public space where you can go to, you know, some kind of meeting lobby where there's just like 30 Miitomo Mii's hanging out and sharing stuff. So that I think is a good thing that that's missing because I am a fan of keeping an eye on language being used by people in games online because it can negatively impact other players and the community. But I've only seen a couple of shits and frankly, shits is not really a swear. At least it wasn't growing up in our house. It's just a fact of life.
Right.
You do it. Sometimes you have it. Sometimes you've had enough of it. Sometimes you don't want any more of anyone else's.
It's like, I'm done with your bullshit.
Exactly. I'm done with your bullshit. I'm done with your cow shit. I'm done with shit in general. That's what I have to say about Miitomo. I will continue to play it. It will be something that I play when I have downtime. Again, just a couple minutes at a time to myself. It'll be the game that I pick up now more than Trivia Crack. Wouldn't suck as a gift.
Yeah, I mean, it's free.
So you can still gift it to someone, though.
That's true.
The app allows you to gift stuff to it. So if you're like, oh, you should really play this, it's a quick way to put it in front of somebody because it gets emailed to them, like download in the app store, pick up. But it is definitely a fun little diversion for the day. And it's a mini you and mini your friends in your pocket. Like, what's wrong with that? Nothing.
I already love everything about it, so I just want more.
You have it.
I want more to happen.
All right.
Like, so now.
That's what I had to bring to the table for the most part this week. I have some other little things, but they may wait till next week. I know we had mentioned before Easter that we were going to talk about Batman v Superman.
And now we're going to talk about it.
So if you have not seen it and you wish to remain spoiler free...
Do not listen to the
rest of this podcast. This is your time to turn it off. Tweet us and say, hey, thanks for the awesome early spoiler warning instead of post-spoiler warning like you normally do. Thanks.
Or the after spoiler.
That's what the post is.
The super after spoiler.
Okay. The one where we've really spoiled it and then realized, oh shit, whoops. So we are letting you know now. Now turn it off now. Then after you see the movie, come back to this podcast episode and listen. Okay?
Okay.
You've been warned.
Here we go. Batman and Superman.
Batman versus Superman.
Like,
not Batman heart Superman.
Batman
V.
Superman / of the night plus other shit.
With # Wonder Woman.
Hashtag blink of an eye. So,
Amazon's go fast.
So I went and saw it on opening weekend.
Late night, by the way. I was very surprised to see that because you...
am not a late night person.
Are not a late night person at all.
And I want to preface this discussion with this thought. Uh-huh. And I know somebody's going to hate me out there, and that's fine. Go ahead and have your hate. So I had no strong desire to see this movie.
No, no one's going to throw hate. I mean, look, not everyone is a Batman fan. Not everyone is a Superman fan.
If you're... I didn't see Man of Steel. So when it came time for the fiance and our I pretty much call him our like boyfriend because we do date night things with him all the time. And he loves movies, and I think that's why we do it. And he's like, I hope we're going to go see Batman versus Superman. And I'm like, well, fiance, you can go if you want. I don't want to go. And he's like, well, I want you to go. And I already bought the tickets, so you're going. So I was like, fuck. It's like, fine. I'm like, well, if we're going to do that, I'm like, I didn't see Man of Steel. And he's like, I didn't see Man of Steel, so we should see Man of Steel so that we have... I'm like, okay, great. So we had, like, a little date night at home with, like, popcorn and dinner, and we watched Man of Steel. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, now I have the understanding of this Superman. Because I hadn't seen it. So I was like, I don't know what the motivations are outside of the standard comics. They might have varied them a little bit. Let me go in informed. And let me say this to you guys out there right now. If you are not familiar with the canons, and I'm using air quotes even though you can't see it, canons that are represented in this film, you will leave confused, angry, and probably have a severe case of IBS. Okay? I just want you guys to know that right now.
So, why?
And I'm getting to it. I'm going to get to it. So, in this movie... Too much is going on all at once with not enough time to set up a plot, because I'm assuming this movie had one. It doesn't give you enough time to really relate to the characters. Like, here we have this Batman, which in my viewing, the last late night viewing at my IMAX, there were people who were booing and like hissing. Because, you know, here's Batman shooting people in the face. Here's Batman branding people. And here's Batman going, like, full vigilante, batshit crazy nuts. Which, now, I don't read a lot of comic books, as Ninja will attest to you. She will give them to me. I will keep them for a while. And then forget to read them. And then return them as if I had read them, but then didn't. And, but I... Even though I'm like that, there are some bits of comics in certain things I have read to a certain extent. Some of it I, you know, have learned through conversation and other very passionate individuals quoting exact lines from comics and stuff. And hey, to each own, different strokes, different folks, whatever works for you. And from my understanding, the Batman that we saw in this movie, played by Ben Affleck, is one of those variations, one of those varying canons that we see Bruce at pretty much the end of his rope. All this vigilantism that he has been doing, that he thought was doing good for Gotham, and in some regards has been doing good, is still not stopping crime. Crime is still happening even after he takes out, it's like trying to go after a Hydra. You kill one head, another one pops up. So like, it just doesn't seem to be manageable. So this Batman is pretty much at the point where, you know, he's more of a Byronic hero. So he's dark, twisted, which is kind of, you know, what Batman's kind of about. But he's gotten to the point now where he realizes that, you know, death is inevitable. Death comes to everybody, which is why I think at the very beginning of the movie, oh no, we get Batman's origin story again for like the 18th billion time. Oh no. He's a millionaire. Oh, no. He's leaving and in this case, it's a movie theater. It's not even, like, an opera, which I thought in the original canon, it was an opera that they were leaving. Or something high, you know, high society or whatever. But they're leaving a movie theater, and this guy was, like creepily looking out of the corner at Martha and, like, comes up in front of, you know, Daddy Wayne and Martha Wayne, and like has a gun, and like it's all slow motion. Like Bruce is looking up, no, Dad goes to sweep the gun away, gets shot in the face, and he falls down. And then you see Martha, like a badass, like check her elbow into the guy, and like the guy, yeah. And then the guy goes and sticks the gun through her pearl necklace, like gives her a second to like look at Bruce, and then he shoots. And it like you see the whole like thing of the top part of the gun that cocks out when bullets get shot. like, it pulls back the necklace and it breaks, and then you see her fall down, and dying Daddy Wayne is all like, Martha, and, like, it, like, goes and, like, blacks out. I'm like, oh, no, it's the origin story, so now we understand why Bruce Wayne's gonna be batshit nuts. Not particularly. But they have to give you the story because, you know, they don't have any other way to pinpoint exactly what's wrong with, you know, Bruce Wayne. But we get that. And, I mean, I guess how it was shaped was nice, but we didn't necessarily need it because anyone going to this movie should underline, italicize, bolded, know Batman's origin story. Anyway, so this is Batman versus Superman. So clearly we know that it's going to build up to the fight that happens between Batman and Superman. In some canon, we know that Batman beats Superman, even though Superman is, you know, alien and all-powerful and, like, unbeatable. But, you know, Batman, he does it because, you know, he got it like that. He got the skills that make him a metahuman without being a metahuman. But anyway, so you have all this stuff going on in Gotham, which is why Bruce Wayne is branding people and shooting people and really just not being the hero Gotham deserves or needs at this point. It's canon. And, like, it's really weird. Like, the way that they are painting Batman, you kind of get this weird sense that he's kind of slowly morphing into a villain, which I guess sometimes happens in a lot of these type of things. Like, you fight and you fight and you fight so hard to the point where eventually, if you can't beat him, you join him. So, like, he's in that weird, grayish, muddly area of his righteousness. And then all this stuff is going on in, you know, in Metropolis. And, you know, we've got our lovely cute Amy Adams as Lois Lane. I don't think she was the best casting choice personally. I didn't understand how, like, I didn't feel the chemistry in Man of Steel. And, like, they kind of force-fed a whole bunch of it into this movie. Like, she's in a bathtub, Clark Kent comes home with his hipster fucking glasses on, and he's like, all this stuff is going on, and she's like, we can't live happily because you can't be who you need to be because I'm here, because, you know, she has to get herself into trouble like 18 fucking times in the movie.
Right.
And here comes Superman
to save her. Distress.
Like, you know, bitch, you're an investigative reporter. Like, if you're going to go behind enemy lines, and at one point she does, like, she gets an interview with, like, a Ugandan, and I'm air quoting because I don't know exactly where, but, like, a Ugandan warlord, and then she goes in with one photographer who you find out is CIA, and they're like, fucking shit, we're going to kill him, and the guy's like, she had nothing to do with it, she had no idea I was, you know, tapped. So they cap that dude in the face, and then all of a sudden this rogue militia who are all in this base kill everybody else in the base but this warlord who's with Lois. And right when Lois is about to, like, get axed, Superman descends from the sky like Jesus with a cape on. And beats the fuck out of people and gets her out. And when he leaves, the leftover people who have managed to survive this purging go on this riot and they kill people in several villages out. So, like, it's playing up on that whole, you know, your actions and your consequences will leave reverberations that will spread out.
So, Jesus Superman sparks a riot?
Essentially, because he, you know, him showing up to this remote place with, you know, no real reason to be there. Because, you know, how would he, you know, I don't understand how he's able to pinpoint exactly where Lois Lane is. I mean, is her pussy that good? I don't know.
I'm not judging that.
Across the world to get it. But anyway, but he gets her and it causes this big, like, militant uprising in, like, Uganda/wherever in the African country they happen to be in. And that's kind of like the precipice for, you know, everyone to be like, is Superman really our ally? He can literally go anywhere he wants. He has all these abilities. You know, we can't really control it. And we want to be able to control this power. And we want to be able to sanction it. And we want to be able to do... And, like, it plays on that whole, you know, control type thing. And, you know, in comes Lex Luthor, who is played by Jesse Eisenberg in this movie. And I'm a big fan.
Sexy Lex Luthor.
I am a fan of Jesse Eisenberg. I enjoy him. Now, he's a little eccentric, but that's kind of, I think, why he gets these type of roles. Because they want someone who can, you can kind of see him devolving into his own personal madness and kind of recognize that that's where he's going, but is willing to do that. You know what I mean? And I feel bad for this part because I kind of come off like a Lex Luthor, like, file. Like, I love him. And I don't. But, and just come at me if I'm wrong here. But Lex Luthor, you know, is, you know, the product of, you know, a self-made man, his father, takes over his business from his dad, and is egotistical and driven by success. Am I right?
Yep.
He's calculating to a default more than a benefit. He is constantly, I mean, his obsession with, you know, Superman is just, you know, he's this uncontrollable power that human, like, that no human created. Like, it's a source that he can never aspire to be because he is mortal. And that's why he's trying to imitate and or bring it down. Am I right?
Well,
am I close?
It depends on who's Lex, right?
Okay.
And where you're picking up Lex.
Okay, so...
Because there are worlds where Lex is just the I won't say villain, I'm going to say anti-hero, who just believes that the world is going to shit, and the only way to save it and get really, truly to a place where people can prosper is through this vision he has, so he has to realize that in order to make that happen for people. It has nothing to do with being evil or needing revenge or anything like that.
So,
and then there are alternates.
Okay, so I think they, like, took 4 different Lexes, put them in a blender, then, like, splayed it out and, like, put some gelatin in it to solidify
What I have heard is that they took Lex, who was never meant to be really the bad guy.
And made him a bad guy?
And tried to Heath Ledger Joker Lex Luthor.
Maybe. And this is what's really disappointing because...
And that does not fit.
It doesn't work. And throughout this movie, every time you got Lex Luthor, like, the first minute he showed up, like, they kind of made, like, this weird joke because at that time, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent are at Lex Luthor's, like, birthday fucking party. Don't know how he knows both of them, especially because Clark Kent writes fluff pieces at this point for the Daily Planet.
Well, depending upon where you're talking about... picking up your Superman, lived in the same city together and went to the same school together because they're the same age.
Okay, well, all right then. Well, they don't establish that. So you don't know. I didn't know that. But anyway.
Yeah, I think in the animated series and that there's a run of comics where
they establish that. Line. Well, they don't in this movie. So as far as you know, they do not know each other. And... You know, it's kind of weird to see a fluff editor at this type of establishment. Like, if it was like a fundraiser or something like that, so be it. But Lois Lane would have made more sense at this gala than him.
Well, more times than not, like, just speaking in the real world, what ends up happening is businesses get a certain amount of tickets for an event, and it's up to, you know, either the office manager or, like, the big name C executive to be like, this is who's going.
Right,
possibly. So it could have just been, we got 5 tickets. Let's throw somebody a bone who hasn't been to an event yet. Clark has it.
All right. So then maybe that's, I mean,
I'll throw that bone to you to make it make a little more sense for you. How about that?
So, but he's there, and all of a sudden, you know, Bruce Wayne shows up in his, like, Bugatti or whatever, a fancy car. You name it, he has it. And he rolls up looking all sexy Affleck and shit. With his salt and pepper Mitt Romney hair, like, whoa. And then, of course, while he's walking in, who do we see? Fucking Gal Gadot, which I feel really bad because I'm going to sidetrack for just a second. So Wonder Woman, we were all so pumped.
I'm still pumped. I have seen images from Wonder Woman in the Amazon, and I'm telling you right now, stay pumped.
Okay. Well,
don't let this movie ruin your pump.
I mean, you saw the trailers, right?
The Wonder Woman trailer?
No. Batman Superman.
Well, I saw those trailers, but I'm not pinning my love of Wonder Woman on this movie. Okay. Because this movie is not the movie.
Please don't, because it doesn't.
It's not fair. And it would really be fair. I knew it wouldn't be fair, so I'm not. I'm sticking to.
Because let me get this all out so I can purge this from my system.
Yeah.
And be able to poop regularly.
Purge.
So as you know, Bruce Wayne is coming in, like, he's scanning the room, and boom, here's sexy-ass Godot in this beautiful fucking dress, just making all normal species of women feeling like they're, like, fucking Shamu.
Right.
And I'm just like, damn, Godot. Damn, Godot, doll.
Damn, Godot. Back at it again with your fly-ass self.
Exactly. You know, and she's just sitting there like, hee-hee-hee, I'm at this party, and I'm kind of watching you, but I'm kind of not. So you know that, like, she's kind of, like, catwomaning and, like, checking shit out. And you know who she is.
Yeah.
No one else knows who she is.
No.
But whatever. And, like, Batman and Superman keep having, well, at this point, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent are having this weird bro-enemy banter. Like, hey, Clark, I didn't even know you were coming tonight. Yeah, well, I'm here. You know, so what's going on in Gotham? Like, that vigilante's, like, fucking crazy, right? And, like, Bruce Wayne's all like, oh, yeah, well, that freaking flying cape disaster. Like, they're having, like, a bitch fest, like, in front of, like, all these people. Like, catfight. And, like, Lex Luthor's like, man, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne wouldn't have imagined you guys together. And I'm like, it was, like, meant to be, like, this call.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense that Lex Luthor would know.
It would make sense for Superman and Batman to have that going on. It makes no sense. Like, there's no world until they know who each other is. There's no world where Bruce Wayne would give Clark Kent the time of day.
The time of fucking day. And, like, here they are. Like, my dick's bigger than your dick. Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
You're a fluff piece writer for a newspaper. I'm a billionaire. Fuck off.
Exactly. Here is my dick. Bam. And that would have been it.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, Bruce Wayne is at this place because he's trying to hack into Lex Luthor's systems because Lex is somehow involved in stuff. So he manages to get down there. He does his hacky bits. Jeremy Irons, God bless his soul. Because, you know, I love me some Alfred. I've always kind of had a thing for Alfred.
Alfred is the character. You know, I love Michael Caine's take on it. I think that Michael Caine was probably the best on-camera Alfred that I have seen in a feature-length live-action Batman.
I agree with you. But, like, here comes sexy fucking Jeremy Irons, you know, with his snarky attitude. I'm just like, take me now, Jeremy Irons. Take me now. And he's just randomly, like, throwing quips into Bruce Wayne's, like, techno earpiece about how to hack into this fucking system. And, like, he does it. He goes back to the party. Everyone's all like, Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. And he goes back to go get it, and it's gone. And there goes our gal, Godot, running off into the night. And you know she's got it. Because, you know, they have to set up this cat and mouse game between Godot and Batman. And so there's that little subplot. And then you have this little tension with, you know, them bad-mouthing each other. And Lex Luthor being, like, in the know, like, on the outside looking in type of business. And I feel really bad because I feel like Jesse is such a strong actor. And when you give a great actor really shitty stuff, they overperform really shitty stuff. And any impact or power...
Well, again, it's because they tried to make Lex Luthor this dark villain. And they tried to make Lex like Heath Joker. And you can't just take anybody to that place. Like, Lex Luthor, at least in the comics that I have read and the animated series that I have followed as far as Superman goes, hell, even freaking Smallville, which I watched up until, like, the fourth season, okay, Lex Luthor is never a sociopathic villain, okay? He's a megalomaniac, for sure.
Right.
Okay, but he's never a sociopath. He's not one of the guys that wants the world to burn. Okay.
No, he just wants to mold it in his image.
Correct,
like,
because he believes that his vision is the one that leads everybody to prosperity. And if only people would understand his genius and fall in line, then everybody could be happy and thank him for it.
So,
like, that's where Lex comes from.
Well, okay, it totally doesn't happen in this
right.
movie.
Right, and you can't feed that to somebody, especially because, like, originally, Eisenberg wasn't who they were looking at to play Lex. Like, Eisenberg was who they were looking to be the sidekick, Jimmy...
Olsen?
Yes. They ended up because the person that they wanted to play Lex, because originally Lex, they were going after Bryan Cranston.
Oh my God, that would have made so much more fucking sense.
And that fell through. I'm imagining he looked at the script and was like, nope! But
it's like, sorry, I'm gonna go throw pizza on the roof.
And
sorry.
So they moved Eisenberg into the Lex position, and they actually have a guy who is, in fact, Jimmy in the movie.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And, anyway. And they kill him.
Let me just
get... So, fuck that.
Yeah, I know. So shit upon shit upon shit.
Yep.
And throughout this whole thing, and I mean, shit, I have to talk about some positive things, because there was one or two things which, after a lot of thought, I was like, okay.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman movie is going to be bomb. Like, that's
well, where yeah, you go. It will be. In my mind, one of my strongest takeaways, which does not speak highly of this movie, because, you know, I love me some narrative.
Very few people speak highly of this movie.
I want to address this. So, one, for the Batman that they're representing, and I'm going to give you a list. One, the Batman that they're representing, true to multiple canons, I think Ben Affleck did an okay job.
Okay.
Not the best, obviously, but not one to be like, oh, Ben Affleck, go back to Argo. Like, leave Ben Affleck alone.
Although Ben Affleck was awesome in Argo.
Awesome in Argo.
Okay.
But not a horrible Batman. Just, there wasn't enough substance to solidify why this Batman is behaving the way Batman is.
Okay.
If they had given that a proper lineup, it would have made more sense to the narrative.
Okay.
Two.
Holy shit.
For positive things. Okay. There's this great underlying, I don't want to say it's a subplot, because unless you're really looking for it, I don't think you're going to catch it. But, you know, there's a commonality between our three focal points of Superman, Lex Luthor, and Batman. So we're looking at three individuals who have dealt with parental loss. So, you know, you've got Batman, who ain't got no parents, but filthy fucking rich.
He had parents, but then he didn't.
But then someone took his parents away.
Right.
And then you have Lex Luthor, who was a product of a, you know, greedy businessman who didn't really treat Lex much like a son, at least from this universe's establishment of their dynamic. So he's kind of got that, I want to strike down my dad's name and make a name for myself type of deal. But he talks about how he was always looking for his father's approval. So there was a withdrawal of parental support with Lex. And then you have alien Superman,
whose parents were blown up on a planet.
But still his dad's consciousness was able to be absorbed into a weird key thing. So he was able to kind of know his dad, but then had an Earth dad who's Kevin Costner. And of course you want to love Kevin Costner and you
Then they killed Kevin Costner.
His Earth dad was Kevin Costner.
Yes.
And like, that's right. He's all field of dreaming it, and like, you could be whatever you want. You're much bigger than everything on this planet. Like, saying all that stuff, and you're like,
Russell Crowe dad is like, but be strong, Kal-El.
Exactly. And, you know, so you have like this weird,
You have this like weird uncle in freaking Zod who's like, let's kill everything. Father was a bastard.
But either way, you have these three commonalities that they have this loss, this parental loss, this guidance lost, and them trying
missing
to figure
parental
out
parental units.
But I mean, but the influence of the lack of guidance for all three of them has manifested in three very unique personality types. You've got the hero who's willing to sacrifice for the good, even outside of his own. I mean, he was conflicting. You know, had that conflict between, you know, being able to live his own life and, you know, be in love with Lois and whatever, and hitting her with that super D and just living a normal life over,
I think that it's an interesting point to bring up, but I think that the thing that you got to remember is that they're all unique because their situations are unique, right? So you have Superman, who his birth parents were not physically involved, but he had adoptive parents. He had a mother and a father.
Right.
Okay, yeah. And they were extremely kind-hearted, you know, literally heartland people.
Like,
hence,
they just grow people with hearts of gold.
Like, what person driving down the street sees a baby on the side of the road and instead of being like, well, let's take him to DFS, like, we'll raise him as our own. We'll fake his social security card and everything and everybody will think it was just our baby. Like, And then raise an amazing human being who actually turns out to not be human and alien and has ridiculous powers while on our planet. But still
is willing to choose humanity over his race.
Right, but what you have there is a situation where he's nurtured. Like, even in a non-corporeal form, right. Superman has two dads.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Then right. you go to Bruce Wayne, who had loving parents... who were completely devoted to him and still were able to be successful and build an empire, who were taken from him by a thief.
By a negative, right, by a dark okay? corruption.
And then, so he then, with his environment, the only nurturing element being a servant.
Right.
Okay, goes to a very dark place. But still with the desire
to do to good.
Ultimately protect. Not necessarily do good. Because Batman wasn't always about doing good. Batman was about protecting people from going through the pain that he went through in losing someone close to them. So he was... So,
right, different motivation.
Okay, like there are times when Batman did kill and use guns. Okay, right. so he wasn't always about being driven to do good, okay? And then you have the final side of the pendulum with Lex, which again, Lex isn't straight up evil. Right. He's not a straight up villain. He just has this vision.
This misguided warped sense of...
And has determined that this vision, based off of his intellect... And the things at his disposal are the way of the future and for all to be, and therefore everyone should be, and by any means necessary, that will need to come into being by his own hand and like machinations.
Now, but I love the fact that, one, I, after, like I said, a lot of thought, found this thin commonality between these three counterpoints in the movie.
Yeah, they all got daddy issues. But
they all have daddy issues that have manifest into their present, current state, like in their personality somewhere. So, but I appreciated that. I mean, and like I said, that was a far reach, and I don't think a lot of people caught that, but that was like a nice little shiny nugget in a sea full of shit. Going back to the shit, though.
Yeah.
They start blending all these different things. Because Batman, he's suffering from night terrors. The man's like 50-something years old. Okay, your parents died. I understand you still haven't really accepted that as a truth. And you haven't accepted why that is a reality for you. But, you know, he's got these night terrors. And, like, and they're jump scares. There are jump scares in this action movie that I didn't feel were necessary. And, I mean, I'm not saying that because I jumped and screamed like a little bitch like 8 times. Because I jumped and screamed like a bitch twice. Because there's 2 of them in there. So if you're not ready for that... Like, it's gonna come out of fucking nowhere.
I don't like the jump scares.
And there's 2 of them in there. It's a Batman
movie. Doesn't need jump scares.
Doesn't need... A good action movie does not need to scare you. It needs to put you on the edge of your seat in anticipation.
It needs
and
it to just thrill you.
It filled not you with scare anticipation you. Is what it did. So, so outside of that, you've got this subplot where Batman is trying to figure out who this sexy woman is. Because if he can't figure... He has to figure out why she keeps showing up and why she's so fine. And he finally gets her to kind of talk to him after she stole his shit. And she's like, well, Lex has a picture of mine and I kind of want it. Well, bitch, stop flashing your titties then. Like, if you're about people snapping shots of you, don't come out into public. But anyway, that's not the point. But anyway, she's like, if you happen to find it, can you, like, please give it to me? And he's all like, sure, sexy baby, I'll do it.
Like, I'll give it to you.
And he does, right, exactly. And he does the best, like, sleuthing ever, which doesn't look like much of sleuthing at all. But he does it, and he cracks it, and he finds a photo of her, and boom, here it comes. Oh, here's a picture of Wonder Woman, like, back during, like, the Dust Bowl era. And he's like, is this you? Who are you? How can this be? Blah, blah, blah. And, like, he's like, I am messaging her, and she's, like, not responding, because clearly, you know, not... Can't give you the answer just yet, sweetie pie. I have to make my, like, hero entrance in a minute. And, like, no sooner does he crack open the file with her photo and stuff, he sees all these other files and he sends them to her, too. And he's all like, we're all gonna have to fight at one point. And she starts clicking through all these, like, files of videos. And it shows clips of The Flash. It shows clips of Cyborg. It shows clips of Aquaman. And one of her. And I'm just like, okay, so I got Flash right away, which makes an obvious sense. He goes from one place to another, like, super quick, and then the camera blows up. It makes sense. And Aquaman. I'm going to give a little plus here for Aquaman, because it's the guy who's Daenerys' hot husband.
Yeah,
the
Cal Drago. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And here he is, all looking super hot, like a fucking sexy
Yeah, the Aquaman
man.
Movie is going to be amazing.
Oh, creamalicious. Like, little plus for that. But they didn't give him enough airtime in my opinion.
So a little minus for that.
So, like, we equaled out. And then the whole Cyborg segment, which, like I said, these aren't really big clips. Like, they're maybe 8 minutes. Like,
they're
eight,
all designed to set up Justice League.
Justice League. But they don't do Cyborg any kind of justice.
Because, like, they've never been able to figure out how to do Cyborg right. Except.
In Teen Titans.
In Teen Titans.
I love him in Teen Titans. Anyway.
It's the only time they've gotten Cyborg right.
So, I mean, all this is going on, and little Lex Luthor, who, I don't think they didn't write him well enough. I don't think they really understood exactly what his role is, what his role was in Metropolis and his dynamic with Superman and Metropolis as a whole. But while all this sleuthing is going on, Lex is snuck into the freaking ship that got crashed from Man of Steel, because it's still kind of there, and manages to get it to, like, operate and function under him. He half resurrects Zod, sort of, and makes him Doomsday. And the CGI on this fucking Doomsday was atrocious. I spit out my popcorn, I shit you not, when Doomsday showed up. Because I'm like, okay, so now they're trying to set up the death of Superman, because I slightly read that one.
I'm impressed.
And as soon as it showed up, I'm like, guys, that's fucking, I'm like, no, they can't do that. And as this is all going on, there's a brief flash of someone trying to talk to Batman, and it's like, and he's like at his desk doing the sleuthing, and like this flash of light comes through, and you see like this person kind of reaching through this space, and it's like, Bruce, Lois Lane is the key to everything. And like, Bruce is looking all kind of weird, because I mean, I would too, you know, if all of a sudden I saw this dude coming out of my generator or whatever. And he's just like, wait, am I too early? I'm too early. And it cuts out, and I'm like, wait, now you're trying to path me towards injustice? Because, you know, at that point, Bruce decides to have, like, a dream. And in the dream, he's, like, Batman in Saudi Arabia trying to get some kryptonite. And there's some, like, Nazi-looking motherfuckers with Superman things on their arms in red and black, like a militant army. And I know exactly by this visual what they're trying to show me. They're trying to show me the alternate universe where, you know, Superman gets tricked into killing Lois Lane.
You've got to be able to go to... If you're smart and Warner, you've already decided you're going to Justice League, and Justice League leads you to Gods and Monsters. So you got to get to Gods and Monsters somehow.
So, but I mean, it just, there was way too much going on.
There's no reason to do anything other than a nod to Justice League. That's all you need to do. You don't need to go further down the line. And you didn't need to turn Zod into fucking Doomsday.
And that's exactly what happens. So, like, here comes this monster that's absorbing all this energy. And, like, no one can stop it. And they keep throwing nukes at it. And it keeps getting more powerful. And at this point, Batman is like, well, I got that piece of that kryptonite that we saw, like, 80 fucking minutes ago. And I turned into a fucking spear. Kind of looked like the freaking spear that Morpheus from the Lego movie was holding. With this giant piece of fucking kryptonite on it. And he's like, I'm going to lure Batman. The kryptonite spear's been made. Doomsday is running amok. Lex Luthor decides he's going to be the ultimate douchebag. Kidnap Superman's mom. And is like, threatened to kill her if Superman doesn't get Batman. Because Batman stole the kryptonite. Like, it's such a loose thing. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. Anyway. So the fight ensues between Batman and Superman. And it's the stupidest fucking fight, because if I could fly, I would never touch my feet to the ground. And Superman's all kind of like, bro, I just need to talk to you. I want you to help me save my mom, because Lex has my mom and blah, 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 blah. And I have to kind of kill you. And then they kind of fight. And then they also kind of sort of almost kiss, which I kind of thought was totally going to happen. But I was just shipping it. And all the way, Lois Lane is somewhere on the premises, and she's trying to, like, get the kryptonite spear, and she nearly drowns, and Superman fucking saves her again, because she hasn't learned her goddamn lesson. Gal Gadot comes out, all Wonder Woman, and doing all of her awesome shit, looking really awesome for about 8 minutes. I get, shit you not, 8 minutes is Wonder Woman, and they're not able to take down Doomsday, because, you know, Doomsday is all like, and like radioactive shit is all over the place. And finally they realize, oh god, he was made out of Zod, which means he's a Kryptonian. A Kryptonian. So Kryptonite's gonna kill him. And like, Lois Lane happens to have the spear when Superman saves her, and like he has it, and of course it's affecting him because, you know, it affects him because he's one of those type of aliens, and he's slowly like flying through the air trying to get enough speed to be able to pierce fucking Doomsday with this spear and whatever, you know, and he could have just, oh, I don't know, given it to Superwoman, Wonder Woman, and had her do it and be alive, but no, because he has to sacrifice himself because he's fucking Jesus, plants it through Doomsday, and they both blow up and die, air quote, die. So, long story short, Superman is dead. Batman thinks he's dead. Wonder Woman thinks he's dead. Lois Lane got a ring in the mail because Clark Kent was going to propose to her, but now he dead. And Batman's like, we need to get all the metahumans together because a bigger fight must be coming. Boom, credits. And as the movie's going, I'm like, there's nothing else. There's probably nothing else going to happen. And I'm like, there was this little stinger at the end of the movie where, like, you see Lois Lane put dirt on, like, Clark Kent's grave. And she's all sad and she puts the ring on because, I mean, if I get a ring, I'm going to fucking keep it. You know, puts it on and walks away. And as the dirt hits the freaking casket, you kind of see it levitate and then it cuts to black. And I'm like, okay, movie, you made me sit here. You made me think it was going to be good, and it wasn't good. And it makes me so mad because there were so many different, there were certain scenes that were killer. Some of the fights were really, really good. And look, then just sucked balls.
The only thing that I'm going to say about this, which is the only thing that has to be said about this, is that Zack Snyder needs to not touch another DC property.
Right.
Okay? It's just obvious. The DC is not a realm for him to play in.
So.
Okay? It's just not. It hurts.
It just hurts.
Who are you telling? It just hurts. So, wait for it to come out on, like, HBO or something, if you have HBO Go, and watch it there. I am not going to see Batman versus Superman in the theaters. I had said that I wasn't going to listen to any of my friends, but the people that...
I'm your sister.
Hold up. No, I had already decided not to see it before you talked about it. Because there are a lot of people who I read the same comics for the same reasons that I'm friends with. And when I heard them start to talk about it, like, I hit them up on the side and be like, yo, like, is this your, actually, I'm more of a Marvel fan than a DC fan thing? And I heard the same thing over and over and over again. This movie is so dark. It's like somebody got a pre-screen of what Suicide Squad was going to be and was like, holy shit, I want every superhero movie to be like this. And they tried to Suicide Squad Batman v Superman, which they shouldn't have done. And
here's my biggest...
When I heard that comparison, I was like, that's it. I gotta be out. I can't.
Here's the biggest thing that came out of it outside of the things I mentioned today.
Quickly, because we're almost out of time.
As I walked out, I was like, I hope Doctor Strange will be better than this.
Oh, it will be.
So. It will be. I know that's Marvel.
It's Cumberbatch, Chidwell Edgefor, and it's Marvel. So don't worry about it. Okay. All right. So, with that, it's been a fantastically fun episode of our podcast. Hope that you enjoyed it. Panda got that out of her system. And I hope that you enjoyed it. Make sure that you check out our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can find our podcast there on the site. You can subscribe to our feed, as well as pick up our podcast in iTunes, either on the desktop or on your iOS device through the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe. You can also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio, on Google Play, on VogNetwork.com, pretty much out there upon the interwebs, we are there. So whichever way you prefer to get your podcast, just make sure that you subscribe and grab our podcast the moment we put them out on the web for your consumption. Hit us up on social, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Give us a like, share in the comments on any of the things that we post, what you're thinking. If there's something you'd like to recommend or you'd like us to do a review on, then hit us up on our Facebook page or on Twitter at ESH News and be like, hey, ladies of Esh, I think you guys should check out blah, blah, blah. I would like to hear your opinions on a podcast about it. Smiley face, because bitches love smiley faces. So make sure that you engage with us there. We will be launching our Instagram. So excited. Just in time for us to go to PAX East. So we'll be sharing some video stuff as well as photos and things like that. So be on the lookout for the announcement of our Instagram account going live, which is cool. We're very excited about that. Check out the other members and all the great content that the entire team is putting together. ElectricSisterhood.com, SmashRook.com, NerveCrave.com, TheIssuesProgram.com, B3Crew.com. Check out all those .coms. There's so much going on. Podcasts on pretty much every website except for NerdCrave, but that's coming soon. So many things. So make sure that you check them all out. We talk about all of the areas of nerddom. TV show recaps, video games, independent music, comic books, manga, anime, console games, PC games, desktop, tabletop games, games on games of games, and
games
also
on games on games, bah, 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 bah.
And also movies and other nerdy things too. Sometimes even theater. Like, it's crazy what we talk about. So make sure that you check out all those sites that I talked about. Bookmark them all. Subscribe to their feeds, share their content, tell your friends. We love doing what we do. We love getting your input and you guys being part of our community. We wouldn't have it any other way. So please, please, please check us all out. Check out all of our shows. Like our content, share our content. Help us become even bigger than what we already are.
So big. Like, so swole.
So now's the time of the podcast where I give an award. This week, I'm giving an award for the best co-host who completely forgot that it's our anniversary. 10 years strong. Host Pandalicious.
Wait, I thought our anniversary was in May. Mic drop.
Nope. April 6th was the first.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So in 3 days' time, it will be our official 10-year anniversary.
For the podcast, wow. Yep.
Holy crap, dude. Well, first and foremost, I have to thank 21-year-old me for taking the shot to even get a microphone and record myself talking absolute nonsense. I then have to thank 23-year-old me who really realized that this could be something viable and something real for her and past Ninja to do together. Three, I want to thank technology for giving us the ability to be able to record these things together, even though we're not together all the time. Also, I want to thank our fans who listen to us and have supported us for these 10 years, because without you guys pushing us and motivating us to continue, I can't imagine us continuing to do this if we didn't have people telling us that they love what we do. Lastly, I want to thank tacos because I'm hungry.
Well, there you have it. For myself, thank you so much for these 10 years. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Bye, everybody. We love you.